What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kick off the show here.
We're in green!
Cleaned up. All right, welcome to the show, everybody.
Welcome to the Mafia Cast. Oh my gosh. Talk about last second.
Huh? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Awesome timing. Awesome
Welcome
timing,
to the Mafia Ron. Cast. Yeah, I know. Part of the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. All of our listeners, if you're on right now, thank you. Appreciate you. Look, I signed into the show literally as the opening was going. It's been a crazy couple of weeks for me, but here we are. We made it. How you guys doing?
Good. That was an exciting entrance you made there. I'm doing all right.
Boy, see the smoke behind me?
Yeah.
It's been a whirlwind of a day.
Yeah. It has. I was in Walla Walla, Washington this week. We just got back in town today. I had some stuff at the office I had to do. And then I was the last one at the office, so I had to set the alarm and everything. So I set it, I open up the gate to get my truck out of the yard, and I'm leaving, and I'm like, oh crap, did that just set off the alarm? So then I had to turn around and go back to make sure that I didn't accidentally set it off, which I didn't, so everything's good. But I wasted about 15 minutes to make sure everything was good, but I made it. Here we go.
Hey, and everything's good.
Everything's good, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get into the show, guys.
All right.
Been a rough week for Bills and Bills fans. I know there are a lot of Bills fans out there. I'm seeing people throwing the towel in the season, which I mean, I understand, but, where do you guys stand on this season? Before we get into anything else, I want to hear from you guys, because I tweeted out this morning that for me, I still believe we've seen this offense be great. We know what they're capable of. 5-4. It's not the end of the world. Only game behind the Dolphins. But what do you guys think?
You're right. I'm 100% with you. I've lost hope watching games, but I have not lost much hope for the season. I just haven't. It hasn't hit me. I don't know if I'm in denial. It just hasn't hit me yet. And I really think we're going to go on a tear here soon. So bring it on.
Yeah.
I felt like when the 7-6 year, like when we were 7-6 and then 13 seconds mm-hmm. happened, I felt better about that team. But I wasn't one of the ones that hated Dable, you know, that always was, you know, until he had his like one or two good years with Josh, like everybody was like, get rid of Dable. I mean, worse than they are about Dorsey. But I loved Dable. I thought he was fantastic. I mean, you don't work for, you know, Nick Saban and Bill Belichick because you're an idiot. You know, like both of those guys, I mean, renowned, considered the best head coach at each of their respected levels. So I was a fan of him. Like, you could see the progression that he was making, he and John both making every year. It just seemed like that year was more lumps in the road and just trying to figure things out. This year, between the injuries on defense and then the complete inconsistencies on offense. I mean, I'm still optimistic. I'm not somebody that's going to say, I think we're going to miss the playoffs. I think we're not very good. You know, let's suck for Ja'Marr Chase. But if it happens, I won't be like entirely shocked. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, explain what you mean by Ja'Marr Chase, because some people are probably like, what?
Like, well, it was a Brandon Bean quote. He was at the press conference, you know, like if there was ever a time like where you would suck enough like to get a top, like to get a top wide receiver, a top pick, you know, like, and he's like, I don't ever want to suck that bad, you know. That's why he doesn't ever trade the farm, you know, and trade for, you know, Davante Adams when he doesn't need to, or, you know, or trade up like 10 picks, like give up next year's first and second to trade up into the current draft and get the top five pick. You know, he never wants to be there because we're that bad. I don't either. You know, I'm agreed. More so willing to give up picks. Like if we're going to get an established player, I would rather do that than trade up to try to draft somebody, because it's, you know what you're going to get. Yes. I mean, we knew what we were going to get in Stephon Diggs, maybe not even to this extent. I don't think we expected him to be first in catches, you know, basically be the best wide receiver in the league since he's come to the Bills. But nobody knew Justin Jefferson was going to be the second best wide receiver in that same time span in the NFL. You know, it's like the Bills were damned if they did. They were damned if they didn't. It was one of those things, you know, you can't predict the future, but I would rather bet it on somebody that you've seen it, you know what they can do, and they're still young enough to where giving them that contract, that second contract, or maybe even third, is still worth it.
Right. No, I completely agree with you. I'm going to touch really quick on Roy's comment here. Is this going to be another Fire Dorsey episode? I personally am not on board with that. I don't think we're there to that point. I think the offense as a whole, the players, the coaches, all aspects of it, need to get things figured out for sure. Is there some things that maybe Dorsey or McDermott or have some of their decisions I agree with? Obviously, no. But there's just, to me, there's still so much promise and potential there because we've seen it. We've seen how good this team can be, at least on the offensive side of the ball. I know the defense is going to be, it's going to be rough with all the injuries. I get that. But also on the flip side of that too, even if you do move on from Dorsey, it's not going to happen in the middle of the season. So people,
I know, you'd be
just
like,
move on from that.
Pretty much throw it's the season like away that. At that point. Right?
It's not like Rex Ryan, you know, or Josh, or like what's going on in Oakland with Josh McDaniels, you know, like that. That was a dumpster fire. Rex Ryan was a dumpster fire. Like it's a situational type thing, you know. Like this isn't that bad, you know. We're not putting up 3 points a game. I mean, it may feel like it compared to the last few years, but we're not, you know. There. But now that you guys are all talking about it, I feel like we should jump ahead and get to this what ifs, because this is kind of rolling right into this.
Okay, all right, let's do it.
So I had just got home from work, just got out of the shower and sat down for 5 minutes. And like these like scenarios just popped into my head. So we're going to go like, do you guys want all three at once, or do you want a one by one? We'll break it down each.
Let's do it one by one.
Okay. So the first one is, what if we get to say 2 games below 500 and, you know, Josh's shoulder is still bothering him. You know, it's one of those things. Do we decide to suck bad enough for Ja'Marr Chase?
Casey, I'll let you like, take it first. Or Mike, I'll let you go first.
Do we shut? Like, do we shut Josh down? Do we shut Josh down?
And that would be ugly. I'd hate to watch that. Oh,
but would it? But would it be worth it? But would it be worth it? Look at what the Bengals were before they got Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, Joe Burrow, you know, he was good, but they wouldn't be what they are without Ja'Marr Chase. Not even close.
Yeah. I think if we're talking 2 games under 500, that means that they essentially lose the next 3 games, which is the Broncos, Jets, and I think the Eagles is after that.
Yep. Yep.
So then that would put us at 5-7.
5-6. Yep.
I mean, you kind of have to because there's no. So just play the second string the rest of the season.
If Allen is legitimately injured and there's risk of further injury, then maybe I consider that. But even at 5-7, you can still run the table and go 10-7, get in the playoffs, and who the heck knows what's going to happen at that point. If he can still play, I say he still plays. If he's legitimately injured, and it's more of a like a true injury, not just something that's kind of hurting, then, yeah, I can maybe entertain that idea. But I'm one of those, and until the fat lady's singing, it ain't over. I was not there physically, but I was in my living room on the couch watching that greatest comeback in playoff history, 35-3. I've seen this team score 3 touchdowns in 77 seconds against the Broncos years ago to come from behind and win a game there. There's just been so many examples. Like, you just never know until it's done, it's done. And if it's not done, then yeah, no, I'm not throwing in the towel at all. So the whole mathematical equations, I'm Einstein over here trying to figure out, okay, what's got to happen? There's still a chance. Dumb and Dumber. So you're telling me there's a chance?
That's what we should have named our show. Dumb and Dumber and Dumber.
Dumberer. At that point.
Dumberer.
Jesus. Let everybody else figure out who's who.
Hey, I was within 1 point of the last score prediction if the scores were flipped.
Excuse me. Who chose the
correct
winner?
And we won. I know.
But we're not talking about that. Okay, we're not.
Here's the second.
What's the next one?
What if we bounce back like the 7-6 year and lose in the AFC championship, like closely? And, you know, everything's just kind of mad, like we go on the run, just like we did that year. Like, would everything be like forgiven and forgotten? Like, all the issue, like this huge, you know, 4 or 5 week span. Would it, like, everything that we've all said about Dorsey and Josh and McDermott, would everything be forgiven? It's not a Super Bowl win, and it's not even going to the Super Bowl, but it's losing an AFC championship game, which we understand how hard it is to get there, seeing as how Josh hasn't been there since his fourth year. So what would your guys's, like, fan opinion be, and what do you think, like, the organization would do next?
I think, first of all, it depends. I mean, if the offense puts up 30-plus, 40-plus points during that whole stretch, I think that puts it all behind us, and people have to just accept the fact that maybe Dorsey is a halfway good offensive mind, and it just took some time for whatever reason to kind of get things figured out, which we'll talk about that in a little bit, because there were some things that McDermott said earlier in the week that it was kind of odd to me. But if they're limping along still and they're beating the Broncos by 3 points and somehow they luckily managed to trip their way into several wins and get to the AFC championship game, I think it's a different conversation then. For me, it just kind of depends on how we get there. As far as the offseason, I don't know what this team is going to do. Every offseason, we try to figure that out, and we try to guess, and we're wrong every time, right? initially, I would have said they'd go corner in first round, but I think that changes with the addition of Douglas, because he is on a 2-year deal still. I can see them extending him as well if he, you know, plays well. Free agency, I haven't had a chance to see who could be potentially out there. I really don't know what this team's going to do. I think they need to start looking. Like, Diggs has not shown us any signs of decline yet, but when that decline comes, it comes fast and oftentimes unexpectedly. So I would like to see them go a little higher in this year's draft to have some more answers for that offense. I know they drafted Justin Shorter, which somebody in here, Tony Miller, asked, why aren't they trying him? I don't think they need to. I don't think there's a problem necessarily with the wide receivers. Kincaid's been killing it. Shakir's been doing really well. Diggs is Diggs. We have all the weapons there. So, so I don't know. Do they start to answer some of the concerns we might be having at the safety position? Like, there's a real possibility that we have neither one of our starting safeties next year. So
upcoming game.
Well, yeah, that's possible. Well, we saw that a lot last year. Like, 5 games, I think, Poirier missed. So there was 5 games we saw without either one of them. We didn't have Rapp last year, so I think that will help alleviate some of those issues this year. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. So that's going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah. So you're saying we get that far, and then, you know, there's no issues with the staff, we're just gonna, you know, focus on keep building this team, you know, bringing in all the talent we can, and we just keep at it, right? So yeah. I kind of agree with that, you know, and what it would be, you know, Dorsey sort of proving, you know, that he could do the job that Daboll did, right? And get us there. So you know, there's nothing wrong with that. The big thing for me though is if it's the Chiefs, God, you can't lose to the freaking Chiefs again in that game.
That's a good point, Mike. So like, what does that do to Sean McDermott if he loses to the Chiefs?
That makes you question it.
And like, even though it's in Arrowhead again, just like every other playoff game.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter at this point. You know, you've seen
if we lose at home them against enough. Them, which I doubt at this point. But
I mean, like,
we'd have home field, but
in the AFC Championship game, like, we lose to Mahomes 35-30, you know, something like that. Similar what does that game. Say about Sean McDermott? You know, like, does that start making his seat even hotter, being like, he just can't get past A, the Chiefs, or B, like, the AFC Championship game?
As far as for the Bills Mafia, they'd be all sorts of riled up over it. Like, every year, over and over.
Yeah, again, though, I think it depends on how it plays out. If they go into that game and it's 35-30 or 35-31, let's say the Chiefs drove down the field, and if you don't have another 13-second situation where, Chiefs beat us. Plain and simple, they outplayed us this day. They made one more play than we did. And it's not a moment where you have to question, like, somebody's decision. I think since I started doing content creation and really kind of paying attention to the fan base a little bit more, I think the fans are going to – they're going to cook up something to complain about. And they're going to find somebody to blame almost regardless of the outcome. If the Bills win a Super Bowl, they're not going to blame McDermott. They're not going to blame Dorsey. Dorsey could lead this offense and put up 40 points. The defense could – if we went out there and won a Super Bowl 40-3, somebody's going to find something to complain about. Oh, well, McDermott, he shouldn't have gone for it on that fourth. Now, that was a stupid decision. It led to 3 points. I'm 100% confident.
Some people don't want to be happy. Base,
I don't think they do. I think some people just want to complain because maybe they're – they don't want to be disappointed, so they're like, I'm just going to go ahead and bitch about this now because next year we might suck, and I'll be like, told you so.
Aren't you a joy? By the way,
we call them Karens.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to go there, but...
Wow.
Yeah. Put a name to the face.
There you go.
Nice hair. Yeah. So we have one more scenario.
All right.
What if we're, like, in the middle of the road? We lose the division... make the wild card and win one game, like barely, like we did last year, you know, 35-32 against the Dolphins. What's next?
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special 3-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next, you know what? Like, so we didn't make we made the playoffs. We didn't, we didn't get home field. We didn't win the division. We barely, we barely beat, Miami in the playoffs, but then we get smoked in the divisional round by, say the Jaguars again. No, like what would be next? If like we like you said, we limp in at 10-7, we limp our way through that first playoff game, and then that second one, like it looks just like it did last year. You know, we're out of gas, we're done. You know, I mean, there were times last, like after that game, when McDermott's seat probably had never been hotter. So, like, do you think like that would finally make the pot boil over if we had the same kind of playoff exit and entrance into the playoffs?
First of all, I don't think McDermott's seat is hot based on the organization. I think the fan base has heated up his seat, mm-hmm. which can lead to the organization heating up that seat as well.
That's why Andy Reid got fired from Philly. That's exactly why.
If it's more of the same, I do think maybe you have to start looking at, okay, what something needs to change. It's hard for me to point the finger at McDermott as a guy who would need to go, because I just feel like what he has done for this organization, a lot of fans have ignored at this point. I get it. They want more. I understand that. But, and I've said this before, I do not ever want to experience 17 years again. That was just miserable. I would rather what we have now than do 17 years of crap, because I may not live for another 17 years. So
you are
especially with the way they've been playing. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
But
that's true.
I just don't think McDermott's is the problem. Is he part of it? Yes. Is Dorsey part of it? Yes. Is Allen part of it? Yes. That's, and my point there is, this is a team thing. It's not just one guy.
Yeah.
Like if it was just Dorsey, then I think the team could overcome that. If it was just McDermott, the team could overcome that. If it was just this or just that, the team could overcome it, because there's so many other great things about this team. But that's not what's happening. It's multiple things. It's Allen not, you know, hitting the underneath wide open guy. Instead, he wants to try to put it in a hole between a cover two coverage that he's done before and he knows he can, but he does. But that moment he did not. It's Dorsey calling a shotgun draw on a second down and 10. It's
for the 78th time this year.
You don't want to be predictable.
I just don't think it's just one thing only.
Yeah.
But I can't get mad at if it's more of the same. Yeah. I think if it's more of the same, then something's going to change.
If I was an OC, I'd play a call like him and it'd drive everyone nuts. And I play Madden like he does. I've run it on 4th and 7. And
it's true. It's really annoying. It's really annoying. But so Roy makes a really good point here. And Jay Spencer King tweeted about this earlier this week and made the comparison. Is Sean McDermott our Mark Jackson to the Warriors Steve Kerr? Is Sean McDermott our Steve Jackson? And now it's time for us to go get our Steve Kerr. Because like Roy said, it seemed like the Warriors, you know, were at their ceiling with Mark Jackson as their head coach. And it seems like, I mean, it has seemed so far that we know what the Bills' ceiling is so far with Sean McDermott, you know, that we're comfortable with saying is, you know what I'm saying? So do we maybe, you know, if say Dable somehow gets fired this year, and we're like, and it's an ugly playoff exit for us, are we like, dude, come home, come work an hour and a half from where you grew up, you know, like if it's a high end offensive mind, you know, like, Steve Kerr, like everybody was clamoring for him to be a head coach, you know, like if there's a new shiny head coach out there that everybody's like, yeah, we need him. Yeah, we need him. Like it's all of a sudden it's like, all right, like we got like Sean, you've done very well for us. And like, we appreciate obviously everything you've done, you know, you've built what we have, but we think it's just like time to let bygones be bygones.
Or let him be the defensive coach.
Because we don't have that right now.
He
wouldn't do that.
I guarantee you he would not do that. And I guarantee you, if he gets fired, there will be a team that hires him.
Oh, immediately. And he should 100%. Be hired. But not necessarily I think, but like I can see, I understand the comparison being made to where like maybe this is his ceiling. You know, like maybe it is.
Yeah.
But they've done better.
I mean,
you're saying if we repeat last year, what he's done or better. Not even,
if we just keep getting... You know, if we just keep losing the playoffs, keep losing the playoffs, keep losing the playoffs. That's what Andy Reid did. Andy Reid went to the NFC Championship game, what, like 4 times or something with the Eagles and lost his job. McDermott's done it once. Like, that's really saying something.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, too, I'm going to compare this to baseball. The Reds, they were a playoff team multiple years under Dusty Baker, but they just couldn't, again, couldn't get over the hump, couldn't get to the World Series. And then he got canned. That was,
and then they sucked. I don't know,
5-6 years ago. The only time the Reds have made the playoffs since then was during that shortened season because of COVID. So that doesn't really count. That's what I'm worried about. There's more crap coaches out there than there are good ones. And I do feel like we do have a good one. And I am willing to be more patient and continue, because just like you said with Reed, how long did it take him to get one? And I wanted to do this, and I haven't had time this week, but I did want to go back and look at some of the other Super Bowl winning coaches. How long did it take them to get there? You know, there's the greats like Bill Walsh. How long was he the coach at San Francisco before he finally got that first one?
Tony Dungy.
Tony Dungy is a good one. There's a whole bunch of, you know, great coaches, and I'm just be curious to look at that. And I think my concern too would be if they get rid of this coaching staff, who comes in? Who do you bring in? Who is out there that you would be confident in? Because I don't want to bring in a rookie coach. This team's got too much talent to be wasted on somebody learning on the fly, which is what they did with Dorsey. But
see,
I feel like that was an internal hire. So you got something to say.
See, the rookie coach thing hasn't been such a detriment as you're making it out to be, though. Look at what, Dumb Dumb down in Miami's doing. McDaniels, I couldn't think of his name. Look at what Sean McVay has done real quick. look what Shanahan has done in San Francisco. Look what other Dumb Dumb has done up in Green Bay. You know, I mean, and then look at the new Nick Sirianni with the Eagles, came right in, completely turned that around in 2 years. He turned, and that was after coming off the Carson Wentz. He drafted a second round Jalen Hurts quarterback that nobody thought anything of. Next thing you know,
didn't draft him. That was Peterson.
Was he?
Yeah, because then they fired Peterson after that first year because of the whole quarterback situation.
Okay, so still he came in with basically a rookie quarterback, and it's not the world's worst thing. I mean, look at what the Colts are doing right now with Gardner Minshew. They hired, you know, the shiny offensive coordinator from last year, and they are, you know, beating teams, and nobody's expecting that. You know, I understand, you know, their run game has been out of their mind. Somehow Zach Moss learned to play football again, and Jonathan Taylor's back. But Gardner Minshew has, you know, like, at least been serviceable. Michael Pittman, you know, he's coming into his own again. Josh Downs, you know, it's one of those things, like, it's not as bad as everyone makes it seem to be anymore. But it's getting a lot closer to 50-50 now.
I just saw revolving door coaches during that 17 years, and that scares the crap out of me.
Agreed. I mean, hey man, well that might also be like, I might be speaking off of what I just know. At this point, you know, I'm used to, all right, bad football team, get rid of the coach. You know, that's what I grew up with. That's what I saw. Coaches didn't stay here longer than 2 years, my entire childhood. You know, Doug Marone was the first coach that I saw stay here for an extended period of time. Then all of a sudden he's like, I hate this place. I'm gone. You know, like that broke my heart. He was a Syracuse coach. And then I was like, oh my God, he's going to my favorite team. Like, let's go. Yeah. And he's like, no. Buffalo's a dump. He's like, screw this. I'm going to Jacksonville, the glorious city of Jacksonville.
The sun and sun and sunshine. Really quick, Roy, big red machine days for the Reds. Glory. First of all, Roy, are you a Reds fan? Secondly, they did win a World Series after the big red machine. They won it in 1990 when they have one of the greatest bullpens in Major League Baseball, nicknamed the Nasty Boys, like one of the best nicknames.
Hey, this all is right, a football.
Moving forward.
Football.
I just had
things
to
actually happen in our game. There's not a lot of stand around.
I like that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate
the Nasty Boys. Now we need the Nasty Boys of the Bills to bring it together.
Would that not be a perfect nickname for an offensive line group?
The Nasty Boys. I don't know.
I like it. All right, let's move on to the game.
I gotta keep my comments to myself. We'll talk about it after the show.
Okay.
Hey, I haven't eaten since 6:30 this morning, so after the show, I'm going to get some food.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to stick around for that.
You can text it. This weekend, Bills, or well, after the weekend, Monday night, Bills Broncos. I believe it's the last Monday night game for the Bills this year. Are you guys worried about this game?
No.
Who's not? Apparently, like, I'm sorry.
I mean, Mike isn't, apparently.
We're going to blow this team out.
I do like the confidence in that.
We have to. This is the do or die game. Last week was not. This is. Even though.
It kind of feels like a little bit.
It is to me.
Casey, what scares you? Do the Broncos have a legitimate chance of winning? And why? If you believe that.
Yes, they have a legitimate chance of winning. The why is because we don't know which freaking team is going to show up.
Yeah.
That's the reason. They have a, you know, I understand. They gave up 70 to Miami. I get it. You know, but anomalies happened. They're still a good defense, and they're getting better. And, I mean, they have Patrick Surtain, who Bills Mafia was clamoring for, oh, my God, get the best corner in the league. Okay, we're going against the best corner in the league.
Yeah.
You know, so there's something to be said for that. Russell Wilson, as much as we all want to make fun of him, he is playing better this year. I mean, he is. He's throwing more touchdowns, more yards, less interceptions. The team as a whole, not great. But, you know, they're streaky like us. They get hot. If Russell gets hot again, you know, and Sutton and Judy are not slouches at receivers, you know, they...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
There's some things that worry me about this game.
Yeah. You mentioned Russell Wilson playing better. I'm going to ask you guys this question really quick. It's about football, but it's not about the Bills necessarily. You got Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray coming off an injury. Who do you play this weekend on a fantasy football? This is a very important question.
Russ. I think you play Russell Wilson against the Bills' beat-up defense.
I think you go pick up Taylor Heinicke and start him against the Titans.
I did that last week, and it didn't go so well with Heinicke. He wasn't terrible, but all right, I just had to throw that in there.
I think he's that's the equivalent of what you're about to get, I think.
Yeah.
No, 20 points. That's about it.
I'd be happy with 20 at the rate my season's gone.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. Anyway, so with this game, on paper, yeah, we should handle them easily. Because of the way things have been going, you're right. We're not so sure. And you can ask the question and say it depends on which Bills team shows up. But we've seen different Bills teams within the same game almost every single week. Mm-hmm. They come out flat and they put up points in the second half. Or they come out and they just go down the field like it's nothing in the first drive, and then they disappear for 2.5 quarters. And then they just, oh, okay, yeah, we're playing a football game, and here they go again, right? So,
God, I hate this.
I don't know. Yeah, it's frustrating. Josh Allen said today, I think it was today in a press conference, he talked about that he felt like that they were close, like something was, like they were almost there. Well, let's talk about the players only meeting. Since that happened today,
Latavius Murray had a super secret meeting.
They're super secret. It wasn't so secret.
No, but
that's the joke.
But it's
I got you.
Content is secret. Like, we don't know. You know, you weren't there. You didn't get invited, and I didn't either.
Well,
I don't think Casey did.
I'm not saying that I was not invited. I just was on the road when the invite came. I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay, obviously. Yeah.
No. So what Khalil Shakir said was basically Murray was like, guys, look around this room. this is an incredibly talented offense, and just kind of get them, you know, motivated, kind of get everybody in their right mind again. But that's kind of the, I mean, that's one reason why for me, I still believe, because they are a talented team. Kincaid is starting, like, he's already set the Bills rookie record for receptions in a season, and he's had 23 of those. He's had 40 receptions on the year, 23 over the last, I believe, three games. So, and then Shakir is starting to come on and be an integral piece of the offense too. It's just somewhere in between the first and the fourth quarter, we got to get some points. And I hope that that happens. But we've seen player meetings in the past, not necessarily with this team, but just in general. Do you guys put much stock into those?
It's the timing of them that you got to wonder about. You know what I'm saying?
The timing is perfect right now.
Well, when a player meeting is called Monday morning, that's when it's like off a bad loss, and like you can clearly see why, you know, and like there's been a trajectory, kind of like when the Raiders called one against Josh McDaniels, and next thing you know, he's fired.
Yeah,
but like Latavius Murray has been around the league for, you know, what seems like 100 years now, has been on all sorts of teams, you know, playoff teams. He's never won a Super Bowl, but he's played in the playoffs. He's been a 1,000-yard rusher multiple times for different teams. You know, he's been on very good offenses. He knows what talent looks like. So when someone like him is like, all right, you know, like someone just needs to take the dad role for a minute. Like, all right, guys, like let's pull our heads out of our, you know, what
behind,
you know. Yeah, there we go. Thank you, yeah. Mike. And
in the Army, we refer to that as a 4-point of contact.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But
I'm
like,
using that at work.
That's why you bring in veterans like that, is to like, is to be man enough to like take that, to make that hard conversation and to do it, and like to not be like, all right, we know the coaches are having their own problems. We are having our problems as well. You know, it's time for us to take a strong look in the mirror at ourselves. And okay, yes, Dorsey's having issues. We understand it. You know, it's just his second year as a offensive coordinator, so he is still learning. We can't really use that excuse with McDermott anymore, being like he's not all that new being a head coach. He's been around the block a time or two at this point.
Yeah.
So it's
but the defense has stayed solid, right? Even with being beat up, it's like to McDermott's credit.
It's played good enough to where we should be in every game. Every game should be a nail biter, basically, and not just because we're coming back down two scores.
All right.
But I don't take any anything into this players only meeting. It's to me, it's more so, guys, let's just do this thing. Like look, like figure it out. You know, it's on you guys. You know, it's a bad play. Make the best of it. You know, one of those type things.
First of all, Mike, you brought up a good point just now, and then I thought lost what I was going to say about it. But I do question the timing, because you're, like you said, if it doesn't happen on a Monday after a bad loss, why on Thursday? It kind of makes me wonder if he doesn't, or he's not seeing the players, I don't want to say moping around the locker room and in practice, but maybe he's like, okay, this team is clearly not in the right mind, and he can even see that in practice, and maybe that's why he did that today. Like, okay, something's got to change, guys, because you guys are like dragging ass around here, and I don't like it. You're too talented for this kind of thing. So that's the only thing that, to me, I think brings it a little bit into question. But
yeah, I mean, just sort of, you know, I think Casey's muted. He's trying to talk.
I was muted. Thanks, Mike. No, this is the second players only meeting in the last few weeks. Let's just put that into consideration. Mike, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know there was another one not long ago. I know there's been a few of them. But I'm hoping it's just more like a pregame, you know, pep it up, talk it up, chat it up, you know, kind of just get the guys fired up, you know, a little bonding, you know, it's not this, you know, practice. I don't know the routine after practice or whatever, you know, but it's not a special occasion meetup. You know what I mean? So just, it's just an opportunity, you know, outside of practice or, you know, not out of their normal routine, just to get together, chat it up, you know, fire each other up. You know, you're doing this good. You know, this could use some work, you know, and if we do it, then, you know, we're looking in good shape. So just try to get everybody on the same page. You know, we've seen some miscommunications on the field, things like that, but just get everybody in that same state of mind that, like, now is the time. It's right now. So
yeah,
I think the timing's perfect.
Yeah, something's got to change, obviously. Let me talk about what I was going to say earlier. So with McDermott and some comments that he made, talking about how they wanted to try different offensive styles in the game. That is one of the strangest things I've ever heard a head coach say in the middle of a season. Like, yeah, that's the kind of stuff you do in preseason. So that kind of goes back to what I was saying. There are some things about the coaching staff that they've done that I'm like, I kind of question. But is that something that would concern you guys? Because to me, I see this team out there, and I see them in the up-tempo, no huddle, hurry-up offense, whatever you want to call it, and I see them just going up and down the field like it's, you know, like nothing, like there's no defense out there. So I don't understand quite why just stay in that. I get the risk and the pressure you put on your defense because they can get tired out if you don't sustain drives. I understand all that. But I think in this league, just go score. And if the other team can keep up, great. But just go score points and put the pressure on the opposing offense to do that. So, that's all I wanted to say. That's just that comment was odd to me to hear somebody, a coach, say that now.
Yeah. Right, but also but also you don't want to limit yourself to anything, right? You gotta, you'd like to think you've tried everything at this point, but have they really?
I'm sure there's other things that they can do, but
feels like not, yeah, during the game is not a good time to like practice,
right,
plays, or I don't know what that means.
We also gotta think about just how often the three of us miss, like, just like I am right now, like, not saying the right words. It's kind of like, feel like Sean McDermott just kind of gets lost, like, with his words sometimes. And just like when, like, with the whole Diggs thing, very concerned. You know, I think it was one of those things.
I was thinking that one exactly.
And then same thing with this, where it's like he's just not choosing the correct words, and people are taking it, like, what he says, obviously, to heart, because that's all we're given is that short span and time with him that he has to answer questions. But like, I kind of do the same thing in my, like, personal life, to where I'll say things, like, say it like half joking, you know, like expecting like the person to understand exactly what I'm getting, and all of a sudden it's quite literal, and I'm like, oh, whoa, like I didn't mean it like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
right,
McDermott can't just get on Facebook Live and be like, hey man, like I was I'm sorry, like it just doesn't work. Like, so I always try to think about it like that. Like, I wonder if he just genuinely might have misspoke, like just chosen the wrong, like he just got like chose the wrong word.
Yeah.
If he was thinking of something else, he was
completely somewhere else in his mind, and just sort of, are you concerned? And kind of just repeat it back. Yeah, concerned. Yep. But he's focused on something else. Yeah. And he's just got to give him a quick word.
Roy, I did like the way Kelsey defended Josh on the so-called intentional grounding call. Let's talk about that one, but I also want to talk about the other.
I've never been so mad at a call in my life.
Oh. Which one? The
which one? The one that was like the world's biggest non-penalty I have ever seen in my life. What do you mean intentional grounding? Bro ran a comeback route. Josh is like, you're going deep, and it's nope, here's your flag.
And we see what all the time are you too. Doing?
What are you doing?
Oh yeah. Man.
Yeah, Alan came up off the bench. He was unglued. He's like, what?
Oh,
yeah,
me and Josh said crazy. The same exact words at the exact same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that one was shocking. And that's one of those moments, too, where we always hear about the officials in New York watching. That should have been one of those moments where New York calls like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hold the phone.
Answer, what are you doing? and fix that. But just use that was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, just wild. But what about the taunting call? I when that happened, I tweeted out the comparison to Tyreek Hill throwing up the deuces, which I've never seen him throw flags. Somebody on Twitter responded and said they have before, but not all the time.
Yeah,
I've never seen it, but I don't watch every single Chiefs game either.
I remember Tyreek did get flagged, and I think at some point he got a glove that only had the peace fingers a different color, so he could do this, and it would still mean that. So that I do believe he was flagged, but pointing, Mike, I mean, is, Josh could have been like, hey, you got some dirt on your shirt or something, you know, like, what is he pointing at? Like, big deal. Like, don't trip on your shoelace
on his face.
You know, they treat it like it was the fake slide or something. What the heck?
Yeah.
Hey, the fake slide's legal, by the way. We saw Kenny Pickett do it, which is the most second most infuriating football play I've ever seen in my life. But like, I think, like, you texted us, Ronnie, like, after that happened, and I mentioned that Tyreek had gotten flagged. I've seen him get flagged, and Mike's right. He had the glove where it gave up, it threw up the deuces for him, because he was like, hey, I did what you asked. I'm not doing it. I'm just putting up five fingers. What are you going to do about it?
So let me play devil's advocate on that. So if he's got this specially designed glove and you're not allowed to celebrate with props, isn't that kind of the same thing?
Yeah.
Like, he's celebrating with a prop that's his glove.
We need a middle finger glove for Josh.
Yeah.
So he can just wave to the refs every time.
I wonder how that would fly. He would get fined for that, I guarantee it.
Dude, they get fined for wearing the wrong socks.
That was a pitiful call. But what really hurt our motivation, I think, is what it did. Even though the touchdown counted and all that, and the penalty on a kick, you know, who really cares, you know, on a kickoff, isn't that what the penalty was, right?
Yeah.
For the kick. So you didn't lose any points there, you know, big deal, but it hurt our pride a little bit. Like, it really sucked the fun right out of the whole game. And it was like letting
it a little bit. And I do wonder when plays like that happen,
like letting a balloon go there. It's like, are you kidding me? Let us play, man.
I'm not one to, I mean, if the coach, or not coaches, if the referees make a mistake and or whatever, it's being a ref is one of the most difficult things you can do. I've never officiated football, but I've officiated other sports. It's no fun, first of all. I would never, can't imagine why anybody wanted to do it for a career, but
it makes you that's wonder part of the if problem. Sometimes,
yeah, if when an official makes a call like that, and then they make a call with the terrible call and the intentional grounding, if that starts to get in Josh Allen's head or any other player's head, like, we can't win a game because these guys are against us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want to think that way, but these guys are still human, right? Like, things like that just start beating you down constantly. Like, dude, what the hell we got to do to get you guys on our side? And sometimes it does feel like the calls kind of go the other team's way. I'm sure that's not – maybe not true. I think it's just officiating just sucks in general. But
I think
Josh, I do wonder Allen if maybe that kind of gets in their head a little bit.
I think Josh Allen needs to pull our crew and make them protect the McNuggets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everybody who's watched Longest Yard knows what that's a good joke.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, man. That might be
go ahead.
I'm trying to think of the word. Bribery.
Social harassment.
Maybe that too.
All right. But I did text you guys for this game early. And I was like, look, we got our first pass interference call in God knows how long.
Yeah.
I swear, yeah. I genuinely cannot remember the last time since it, like before this game, that we got a pass interference call. Cause I know it hasn't been like in the last two games, three games. I mean, just like you guys, I watch every play of every single game, and I can't think of a single time when we got a pass interference called everybody's like, look at this, you know, just like Roy is saying with the cornerback grabbing Gabe's face mask in the end zone, never called the trip, never called.
I mean, turned his head completely aside.
Yep.
Yeah. I actually had forgotten about that. Patrick too.
Made that pass.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm not blaming the refs for this loss. The offense, they just disappeared. Mm-mm. It's not the officials' fault, but damn,
you got to play the refs. You have to get up a few possessions to just take the refs right out of it. Because if it comes down to one possession game, there's always that chance that one call is going to screw the whole game up.
And it's hard when you lose by 6 points. It's hard not to go back to those four calls. Well, we'll throw the taunting one out because technically it is a penalty. Whatever. And it really didn't affect much as far as points or anything. I think you're muted again, Casey.
God damn it.
Oh, that was rough. I don't got the buzzer ready.
We got to bleep Casey here. What were you saying, Casey?
I don't remember. Just go.
Okay. <That's> right. But yeah, so when you got a 6-point loss and you've got three calls right there, the face mask, the tripping, and then the intentional grounding, and you got a 6-point loss, that can affect the outcome of the game. And I don't know.
Well, one of them directly took 3 points off the board. If Bass makes the kick, but you know, assuming he makes the kick, intentional grounding directly took 3 points off the board. Knocks it on a 3-point game. Like, hindsight, and not, you know, it's just one of those.
It took 7 points. Gabe Davis, I mean, if he doesn't get face mask, he might grab that ball with one hand, and that's a touchdown. And if we get that call, we're on the goal line.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's 7 points.
And then we're going to. And then
go ahead.
I was just saying, then we're going to run shotgun for three times.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
But hey, it gets 3 points at least.
This comment is what friends are for.
Yeah, here's my thing.
I know. Maybe we just won't tell him next time. We'll let him stay mute.
I know. And just talk into silence. This is another reason why I'm not as down on Dorsey and the offense as a lot of people, because there are, like, this team has moved the play or moved the ball. They've got the yards to show it. The whole DVOA thing, which I'm not all into that. But on paper, it's an efficient offense. So when you go back and you look at the games, it's a Dalton Kincaid fumble in the red zone. It's a missed face mask. It's a holding penalty on Deion Dawkins. It's just one little thing here and there that's killing the drive, and they can't recover from that. If they can just get out of their own heads and stop with the turnovers and the penalties, I think this offense can put up 30 plus points without really blinking an eye.
I think we've really been humbled to the point where we're just ready to get all fired up. We're going to have a lot of grit going through the rest of the season. Unless
the Bills
just tank.
the Bills are like teenage boys. We're very fragile. You know, it's mentally they're very fragile. Like we think we're the toughest, biggest boys on the block. Nobody's gonna mess with us, but we're 13 years old. And then that big 17-year-old comes by and was like, who are you? You know, like, and then like you, then we either have two options. You know, we can step up to him, you know, go chest to chest with him and dog it out, or we can whimper, you know, and it seems that's kind of, it seems like that's kind of the point we're at right now, to where it's like they got, like right now they have to make a decision. Which way are they going to go?
Yeah.
Let's say they win this weekend and then they lose to the Jets, and then we're sitting at 6-5. Like, they keep this whole back and forth thing because they haven't lost back to back games this year yet. So if they keep going back and forth, and we end up in that 7-6 position again, where would you guys stand on this team at that point?
I'd rather we lose to the Broncos and beat the Jets. I really cannot imagine us losing to the Jets again.
For those of you that will be listening on podcast, Casey's face is one of shock.
We better not lose either of these two games. I understand the Jets have been our Achilles heel the last 2 years. Like it's wild. You know, every team has one of those. Like other teams where it's like, you know, that we know, you know, they're inferior, but for some reason they just don't go away. That's the Jets for us. You know, it's just one of those things. Like, but we got to beat them. We have to beat them for the division. Really, we got to get back to 500 for the division.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine us losing to them.
Okay.
It can't happen. I
mean, we lost to the two worst teams of the division. We have one leg up over the better team in our division. Not saying better than us, but the other good team. So, yeah. So we lost two games that, you know, like it's kind of okay to lose because we know we can beat them the second time. Beating Miami week 17 in Miami, like basically is going to be for the division, and like who's going to be at home in the playoffs and who's going to have to go to the Super Bowl entirely on the road. That's huge. You know, like, yeah. I don't know if we can win that game, especially with how our defense is like depleted, how our offense is so wishy-washy right now. It's going to be tough, but okay. We better beat the freaking Jets.
We're getting close to score prediction time, but I want to get a couple of quick what-ifs of my own in here really, really fast. First of all, we win the next two. We're sitting at 7-4. We lose to the Eagles in a close game. Are you confident in this team at that point? Are you still like, okay, yeah, we're back on track. This team can get it done. Here we go. Or like, ah, crap, we're 7-5. We're still behind the Dolphins.
I take that loss against the Eagles and hope that we see them again.
That would be the Super Bowl.
I predicted that we would be losing the Eagles this year. So
that would be the ideal situation for me. If we lose to them and see them in the Super Bowl, that's a dub. I'm not going to watch.
I won't be able to talk to one of my best friends for a while.
Miami game determined if we go to the playoffs.
That seems like a dream to me.
Yeah, there's some truth in that for sure.
Yeah.
It could come down to the playoffs because it's very possible that only one team out of the East goes to the playoffs, obviously being the division champion. So it definitely could happen. Man, I forgot the other what if. Oh, yeah, I got it. All right, this is a good one. What if the Dolphins stumble again and they struggle down the stretch like they did last year? They end up falling behind the Bills. Pay three games, they get ousted in round one by the Bills. Does McDaniel keep his job?
Not even a question.
Really? He'd be done.
No, not even a question. McDaniel is there. He's gonna be there for a while.
So what makes that different from what McDermott's doing right now?
He's younger. He's still only been there, like, this is only his second year. You can't
discriminate
year.
Based on age.
Can, too.
That's a law.
Yeah. Not for me. Not an analysis. I mean, it's only year two. You know, people are still questioning Tua. Is he just a system quarterback? You know, is he just Brock Purdy in a better off with a better offensive weapons, faster offensive weapons? You know, it's one of those things. You know, throw Josh and Allen in with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Watch them put up 70 on everybody because nobody can throw a ball as far as Josh. Nobody can run as fast in a straight line as fast as Tyreek and Waddle in the league. So just,
yeah,
you know, four verts every time if that was the team. But like I think they would cut Tua before they got rid of McDaniels.
All right.
I think they think Tua. more limited than as a quarterback than McDaniels is as a coach.
Probably true.
Mike,
we're going to start with Case or Mike. We're going to start with Mike. I don't feel like we started with Mike in a while on the score predictions. And you've already said it's going to be a blowout, so we're expecting a big number here.
21-20.
No, I'm going to you can hold me to that, and I don't remember I commented on the show on the chop up last night a score prediction. This one will be close to that one because I don't remember exactly what it was. Yeah, it might even be the same, but I'm guessing 37-23 Bills.
Okay. And those of you listening, let's get your score predictions in here. I want to see what people's confidence level is right now with this team. Casey, what do you got?
I'm thinking. I'm going to say 30.
Insert Jeopardy music.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how I feel. I'm going to say
I'll have to add
30. That. 30 to 8. We'll call it 30 to.
Come on.
I want to say 18, but that's unrealistic. 30 to 20. Buffalo.
We just scored 18 last week, so.
I know. It's an anomaly.
Yeah. Well, in the week before that, Buffalo held, I can't remember who we played, but they held them to 18. So that's 2 weeks in a row that a Bills score has it had an 18 in it, which is odd.
Hmm.
So, all right. So we've got some of these score predictions coming through. So far, everybody's picking the Bills, and I think they should. I'm going to go, obviously I'm taking the Bills. I'm going to say, I'll go 30 to 17.
I was like, that's whoa. My score.
All right.
All right. So 30-20, 30-17, 37-23.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All Bills. I love it.
All Bills. All right. We're going to get out of here again. Thank you for listening to the Mafia Cast. We are part of the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. Appreciate our listeners. Hit the like, hit the subscribe, share. We love you all. We'll see you next week. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Tell your friends.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.